day in and day out. Today we come to a very familiar, well, no, it's not a familiar passage. It's not so familiar passage of Scripture. In fact, probably as we read it, some of you may scratch your head and maybe not even remember reading it in times. I know that I've read it in the past, but it's been a long time since I really give thought to it. And today I want to read to you Zechariah chapter number 3, in the beginning in verse number 1, read through verse 5. That's where we'll be taking our text from today. And the Bible said, "And he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem, rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Now Joshua was clothed in filthy garments and stood before the angel. And the angel spake unto those that stood before him, saying, Take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, Behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. And I said, Let them set a fair mitre upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head, and they clothed him with garments. And the angel of the Lord stood by." Our Father, Lord, we thank you today for the opportunity, the privilege we have to come together this morning. Lord, again, reading the Scripture, we might wonder exactly where we're going, but yet we see a great significance in this passage of Scripture today that I pray will help us to understand our relationship with God or our not so much of a relationship with God. And I pray that you'd have your will and way, guide and direct, we pray. And we'll thank you now for what you do and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray. Amen. First of all, we come to Zechariah. We maybe would not expect to see Joshua. We refer to him back in the book of Joshua and even in other books in the Old Testament. But we come here, and what we find in the text is Joshua, the high priest, stands as a representative of the priesthood and of the people of Israel. So he's standing there as the high priest, representative of the priesthood and of Israel. The Israelites had been wayward in the sight of the Lord. In fact, you know, they had disobeyed him and they had many times went away from what he had taught them and given to them. But what we find here is God intends now to cleanse them. He intends to change them, to transform them into a vessel of honor. We today are a vessel of God if we're saved, and we're either a vessel of honor or a vessel of dishonor. Israel found themselves in the position of being a vessel of dishonor. And so we find here this illustration that is given to us helps us to understand that the Lord God is about to make them an honorable vessel. When he first appears, the interesting thing we find in verse 3, the Bible said, "Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel." You know, when we think about the filthy garments, the reason he shows him in that state is because he was about to change his raiment. It was about the fact that when he was made right, he was going to get new garments. It reminds me of when you and I got saved. We did not deserve it. But the Bible said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And so again, when Joshua's garments are changed, he's cleansed. And I believe this is a picture of God changing us spiritually as well as the people of Israel. He was trying to illustrate to them how dirty and rotten and sinful and filthy they were. But he said, I want to offer you something. I want to offer you some new clothes. I want to give you some new raiment that you may see. In fact, I skipped my title, but I wrote the title today, Dressed for Best. And again, you'll see what I'm talking about in just a moment. But this passage speaks of changes the Lord makes in our life. He said in verse 4, look what he said. He said in verse 4, "And he answered, spake unto those that stood before him, saying, Take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, Behold, I've caused thy iniquity to pass from thee. And what did he say? I will clothe thee." I tell you today, I want you to know that I'm grateful to be clothed with the righteousness of God. I'm glad God made a difference in my life. The old saying is, clothes make a man. And the way you dress many times says a lot about you. If you don't believe that, go to Walmart anytime, day or night. And you might see that along most anything, maybe shocking and amusing. But if you don't, but understanding that, we all want to look, we'll look our best. At least we should. I think we come to the house of God, we ought to give God our best. I think we ought to do the best we can. However, I believe many times, in the life that we live, people zero in too much on the dress, and they talk about the best dress to the well-dressed man or woman that you may find somewhere. And in doing so, they make a big deal about it. I don't think today that we ought to, you know, it doesn't make a difference to me whether they have that contest or whatever it is, the best dressed or whatever, because really the truth of it is today it's not the dressing on the outside, although I believe if you're right on the inside, you'd be right on the outside. But I believe it's not so much the outside as it is the inside. Friend, a person can look like $1 million on the outside, but they may still be dirty and rotten in their sin, filthy and away from God, and need the help of God in their life. While the world may be consumed with who's the best dressed, God's concerned and consumed with how we're dressed inwardly. The Bible said in 1 Samuel 16:7, "But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as a man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." Spiritually speaking today, I believe there's three types of garments are today that every one of us will find ourselves wearing today. As I examine this, I want to talk about, and I've talked about the fact of dressing your best. And today, I want you to understand, we're going to be talking inwardly about our relationship with God and where we stand. The first thing I want you to notice with me this morning is verse number 3, the garment of sin. Now understand, the reason Joshua was in filthy garments is because God wanted the people of Israel to see that it was him and he alone that could change a person's heart, change their life, and change their relationship with him. We find here, it calls them filthy garments, and there's no way of softening the meaning. You think about the worst thing in the world that you can think of, and that's what he's talking about. Today, understanding, and people don't like to hear it, but before we get saved, we're dirty, rotten sinners. I tell you today, we're not worthy of anything, but thank God, God has given us everything and saved us by his marvelous grace. Now, the context here gives us the understanding that Joshua was unfit to perform the duties as being the priest over these people at this time. So what did he need? He needed a change in his heart and in his own life. God had to work in and through him to help him along the way. Isaiah 64:6, maybe this will help you. But he said, "We are all an unclean thing. All our righteousness are as filthy rags. And we do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away." I want you to know here the filthy rags, and again, I'm not going into detail this morning, but I want you to know those filthy rags mean filthy rags. In fact, in Leviticus, it talked about these filthy rags being as unclean, because any life in the blood that is leaving the body, of course, is unclean, because Jesus is the God of life and eternal life in so much that he gives to us. But since God is the Lord of life, nothing associated with him can diminish the life that he gives us in Christ. The Bible says, and today it's important to understand, that God saves us, and he saves us, and he gives us a new garment. He cleanses us. But you see, our problem is not our sinful acts, though they're wicked, but even our very best works are defiled before God. Now, let me explain that. Our problem is not sinful acts. I hope it's not. It could be. But today, honestly, I believe the biggest problem that makes us still have filthy garments is we're trying to do things our way rather than do it God's way. Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Jesus lets us know that there's nothing we can do to get to heaven except call upon the name of the Lord, repent of our sin, and be saved. Many people today, and again, I'm careful in saying this, but friend, I'm thankful that you're here today, and I'm glad that you read your Bible, and I'm glad that you pray. But I want to say to you today, if you're depending on that to get you anywhere, you're in trouble. Our dependence ought to be solely and wholly upon the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done. Isaiah 59 verse 2, he said, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins has hid his face from you that he will not hear." We find in the Bible that God said, as long as we regard iniquity in our heart, God won't hear us. You can pray all day. You can pray every day. You can pray 24 hours a day. But friend, if your heart is not right with God, if you have not confessed your sin and made right with God, you're not getting anywhere with Him. The stark reality of sin is what it does to the sinner. Friend, I could elaborate this morning for the rest of the time about what sin will do. I tell you, somebody said years ago, sin will take you further than you want to go. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay, and it'll cost you more than you want to pay. All you got to do is pick up the newspaper and read every day, and you'll read of some senseless, stupid, crazy thing that somebody's done. You know what causes that? It's sin. It's sin against God. It's sin against the Word of God. And today, no matter who we are, and understanding here today, I'm not here to put you down. I'm not here to say how bad you are. But I'm here to tell you today, we're born in this world. We're dirty, rotten sinners. The Bible said we're all sinners. For all, He said, have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every person that's born in this world is stained by sin. He said, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and death passed upon all men. For that, all have sinned. Get this, no man's born in this world that's not a sinner. There's not a man born in this world that don't need to repent of his sins and be saved by the grace of God. And there's not a single man, woman, boy, or girl in this world that'll go to heaven unless they repent and call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even the smallest baby, as hard as we hate to think about it, those grandkids are just precious, isn't it? Well, let me tell you what the Bible says in Psalm 58, verse 3. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they're born, speaking lies. That's what it says about little babies. You said, oh, they're innocent. No, they're not innocent. And thank God, God gives them the opportunity. That's why it's parents' responsibility and preachers' responsibility and Sunday school teachers' responsibility to tell them the truth of what it takes to get to heaven so that they can repent of their sin and get saved. Everyone has inherited the sin and the guilt of Adam. The Bible said in Isaiah 64a, but we are all as an unclean thing. The word unclean means contaminated. Sin renders the sinner spiritually dead. In Ephesians 2:1, and you hath he quickened who was dead in your trespasses and sin. Sin separates us from God. I tell you today, I love to sing those songs, and He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I'm His own. But I'm going to tell you, there's one thing can hinder that. It's the sin in your life or my life. If we do not regard it, if we do not confess it, if we do not get the forgiveness and the cleansing of the blood of Jesus Christ, God will not be able to walk with us. God will not be able to talk with us. Not that He's not able, but just the fact that He will not, because He said according to His word that He would not. Sin hinders prayer and worship. I tell you today, when we come to church, the first thing we ought to do is be sure we're right with God. You say, well, preacher, that shouldn't have an effect. Listen, I believe any of us can have an effect on this service this morning just by the way our life is and what we've experienced and what we're doing. Sin destines the sinner to a life of misery. The Bible said in Proverbs 13:15, good understanding giveth favor, but the way of the transgressors is hard. Friend, I tell you today, sin will destroy your life. It will, you know, talk about drive you crazy. I talk about all the things people does. People, murders and rapists and all kind of things that go on in our society today. I can't imagine, I mentioned this other night about they caught some, they're catching people now that did things 30 and 40 years ago because of DNA. And I can't imagine how those people lived all their life. They probably just thought they was okay. But I'm going to tell you something, if they had anything about them, their conscience ought to bug them to death every day that they got up wondering if that was the day. For you see, God says, you're not going to get by with it. Be sure, He said, your sins will find you out. God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Sin dooms the sinner to eternity in hell. The Bible said in 2 Thessalonians 1:8 and 9, in a flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and the glory of His power. Sin will cause the sinner to hear the most awful words as ever fall upon human ears. The Bible said in Matthew 7:23, this is the worst thing you can hear in your life or even at the end of your life. And this will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. Friend, whether you believe it or not, one day you're going to stand before Almighty God. And I'm going to tell you, I want to hear what Paul heard. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. But I'm afraid today he said there's some that's going to stand before him and he's going to say, sorry, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. And you say, well, at that time I'll cry out to God. Go ahead, cry all you want. But friend, it'll be too late then. You better make sure today that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you've been born again. You're saved. You're on your way to heaven. And I know today you said, preacher, you're preaching to a bunch of saved people. I hope I am. But I tell you, I've seen people get saved years after they thought they were saved, David being one of them. And I'm thankful today that people come to the realization this is nothing to play with. This is nothing to piddle around with. We need to understand the importance of it. Sin will take the sinners to the lake of fire. The Bible said the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ as our Lord. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ, this is your life. You're standing in filthy rags, even as representative of Joshua the high priest, as well as the people of Israel, whose rags were filthy. But if you've never been saved, you're dressed in the garments of sin. And I plead with you. I tell you today, and this is something that's really burdening me. I tell you today, we're not seeing people saved like we used to. We're not seeing people saved like we need to. And I tell you today, we need to get a burden. I was reading a book this week on 35 reasons we ought to be soul winners. And I tell you today, the reason is because people are out there and they're clothed in the filthiness of their rags. And they need somebody to tell them that Jesus will give them a new set of clothes if they'll come to him. In 2 Corinthians 6:2, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. It's not tomorrow, because tomorrow may never come. Oh, actually, tomorrow never does come. Oh, we get another day, but that'll be today. Tomorrow, at this time, it won't be tomorrow, it'll be today. And friend, if you have an opportunity to know today that you're not sure whether you've ever been saved or not, and by the way, I hate to say it, but there's churches sometimes that don't tell people how to get saved. They think if you join the church, sign a card, get baptized, and just go through the motions, then God's going to see you and take you to heaven. The Bible said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The garment of sin. Oh, I hope today you don't have it on, but if you do, you can walk out of here today with a new garment in Christ, cleansed beyond. Then there's the garment of self-righteousness. Look in verse number 4, the first part of it. And he answered and spake unto them, that those that stood before him. And he said, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. Now, the new garments, the old garments are going to be taken off. The new garments are going to be put on. Now, what we see here is the work of the Lord in a man's life. I love the word grace, because I tell you today, we have experienced the grace of God. I want you to know I'm here this morning simply by the grace of God. I'm thankful, and I know many of you got the COVID, and I know it was hard, but I'm thankful today that God helped me, and I didn't have to go through it, or I haven't had to go through it, and I pray it don't, and I realize that we go through different. But even those that went through it can say today, you're here by the grace of God, because God brought you to the place you are. What we find today, our world is filled with billions of people who have tried to take care of their filthy garments themselves. People go to rehab, and I'm not against people trying to get help, not at all. But if you're trying to get rehab to get your life straightened out, friend, Jesus is the only answer to our problems. Jesus is the hope of the world. We used to sing that Doyle Robertson, a song actually that he wrote. In the Garden of Eden, if you remember when man brought sin into the world, Adam and Eve sought to in their nakedness, they sought to cover themselves by making fig leaves and sewing them together in Genesis 3, verse 7. Who told them they were naked? They didn't have to be told. It was revealed to them the moment that they sinned against God. And yet they thought those fig leaves were sufficient. But friend, those fig leaves were not sufficient to cover their sin, maybe to cover their nakedness. But the eyes of the Lord are over everyone and everything, and he knew they were still defiled. Most people know they should live cleaner lives than they do. Most people believe in the existence of God and know someday they'll face God in his judgment. I've talked to people and asked them if they knew they were saved, and they said, no, I'm not saved. And I say, do you believe in God? And they said, well, I believe in God. Friend, I tell you, that's just kind of crazy. I'm not trying to be ugly if you're thinking that way, but that's just kind of crazy. If you believe in God, then why aren't you saved if you've heard the gospel? Why haven't you surrendered? Why haven't you repented? Why haven't you accepted? Because if you believe in God, you got to believe that one day he's coming again. And one day the judgment of this world is going to fall upon those who reject him. And how sad it is that I believe in God, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure I believe, enough to get saved. Proverbs 16:25 said, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof, what are the ways of death? Regardless of what a man does on the outside, he can never change the inside. He can never change his heart. And when the Lord looks and sees what's in the heart, he sees through all the things that we do and try to do, and he knows what is true and what is not. Since this is true, the self-righteous man, the religious person, the person who lives a good life, the person who cleans up his life will never please God. And I hate to say it, but they're headed to a place called hell. I tell you, I've met some of the nicest people in the world. I tell you what, I mean, I've called some of my friends. And they're just as nice as they could be, and they do anything in the world to help you, and they're just wonderful people. And you say, well, surely if they're wonderful people, if they're that good, God's going to take them there. No, God is a just God. God's a right God, and God made a way to get to heaven. And if we don't accept that way to go to heaven, unfortunately, we'll end in a place called hell. Religion will never save you. I tell you today, I'm a Baptist by choice and by conviction. But I'm not going to heaven because I'm a Baptist. And there ain't nobody going to heaven because of their denomination. And they're not going to heaven because of their goodness. We're going to heaven because of the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on the cross for our sin. Has redeemed us and given us eternal life. The problem is not what man does. The problem is what man is. Man is a sinner. And no amount of cleaning up the outside will fix the problem in the sinner's heart. I've noticed through the years, I used to get invited down to the court sessions. As a pastor, they'd ask me to come and give a prayer before the thing. And I would go in, and they would be bringing people before them. And these guys, they've been in prison, and maybe some of you knew or seen or whatever. But when they get to prison, they got on a 2 or 3-piece suit. They got on a tie. They got the hair cut. They've got it combed nicely. You know what they're doing? They're trying to say, Judge, look, I've cleaned my life up. But friend, I'm going to tell you something. You can clean up the outside all you want. But if you haven't cleaned up the inside, you're living a self-righteous life. And you may fool people down here, but you can't fool God. There's no way the flesh can sustain clean living. Even if it could, it still would never erase your sin. There's only one remedy, the remedy found in the name of Jesus. Oh, I love that song, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. A change will never be produced from within the sinner. It must be produced from above. Friend, I remember when I got right with God years ago. It was back in 1973, March of 1973, a long, long time ago. I tell you what, I went to church that night. And brother, God had my number. And the preacher preached to me that night. I don't think he preached to anybody else. But it was God getting a hold of me and said, boy, you better straighten up. You better do right. Because if you don't, you're going to suffer the consequences along the way. I'm glad that Ephesians 2:8-9 is in the book. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. He said in Isaiah 1:18, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you've been trying to be a good person to please God, you might as well stop trying. Today, you better understand that Jesus Christ has already pleased God, and we need to be sure that our sins are under the blood of Jesus Christ, and it's He that changes our life. 1 John 2:2, and He is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. I know I had a hard time pronouncing it, propitiation. What's that mean? It means substitute. He's our substitute. He took our sins in order that we would not have to. Isaiah 53:11, He shall see the travail of His soul and shall be satisfied. By the knowledge shall My righteous servant justify many, for He shall bear their iniquities. If you'll trust Jesus for your soul's salvation, if you'll make your life pleasing in the sight of the Lord, He will make you accepted in the beloved. Isn't it good which gets a person to heaven is being saved and not merely religion? And then thirdly and quickly, here's the whole point, the garment of salvation. I look out today and I believe there's a lot of you that wear the garment of salvation. I hope you do. But look, if you would, the latter part of verse 4 and then verse 5. He said, Behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. And I said, Let them set a fair mitre upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments. And the angel of the Lord stood by. Friend, I want you to know this morning, I tell you, you know, now listen, don't start looking at your clothes to see if they're dirty. I'm not talking about these clothes. But look within your heart this morning. Examine yourselves and ask yourselves if truly you've been born again. You see, God took those filthy rags and He gave him a new suit of clothes. Now, Joshua is able to enter in as the high priest into the presence of the Lord. You see, so many times we try to come into the presence of the Lord, but we're not ready to come. In fact, before you pray, you need to get dressed. Now, I'm not talking about physically, but I'm talking about the garments that would hinder us, the garments of self-righteousness, the garments of sin. This is a picture of what the Lord Jesus Christ will do for you. He said, y'all get them old garments off. I'm going to give them some new garments. When a filthy sinner comes to faith in Christ, some wonderful things take place. I tell you, it's been many, many years ago that I got saved. It was years later after rebelling that I got back and got right with God. But I'm going to tell you something. These last years, especially of being in the ministry and even going to Bible school in 1974, God has blessed me more than I could ever thank Him for because of what He's done. You know what He gives us? He gives us a new birth. The believer said he becomes a new creature. There's drastic changes that take place in the life of a Christian. Perhaps some of you know, I think all of us somewhere would know somebody, and I've heard people say, boy, before they got saved, I'm telling you, they was rotten. I mean, they were bad. They would do anything. But boy, I tell you what, I saw them get saved, and they were changed immediately. Sometimes you may walk in church and see somebody sitting there. Maybe somebody hadn't been in a while, and they come back and see somebody, and they say, they come to our church now? Yeah. Oh, I knew them when they was rough. I say, glory to God, let me tell you, something happened to them. They got changed. They got born again. They got some new raiment. They got some new clothes. And they don't act like they used to act. They don't talk like they used to talk. And they don't go to the place they used to go because God made a change in their life. Listen to what He said in Isaiah 61:10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, for He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. God takes away our sin and gives us the righteousness of His Son. That's a pretty good trade, isn't it? We give Him our sin, He gives us His Son, and we're born again. The Bible said of Abraham in Genesis 15:6, and he believed in the Lord, and he counted unto him for righteousness. What was the key word? He believed. The Bible said in Romans 4:24, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on Him that hath raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. When we trust Jesus as our Savior, the Lord transforms our life. He takes away our sin. He gives us the righteousness of the Lord. Because of our sins, we were barred from His presence. Friend, if you're here today and lost, you can pray and pray and pray and pray. But I'm sorry, but according to the Word of God, God doesn't hear your prayer. I hear people oftentimes, they get in trouble, they in a car wreck or something drastic happens, they crying out to God. I don't have no way of knowing whether God's hearing them or not, but I can tell you one thing. If you don't know Him, you're not going to be able to call to Him. You can call to Him, but He will not hear. None of us are perfect. We know it. None of us can achieve perfection, and we know it. But you know, when we repent of our sin, Jesus imparts to us perfection. He cleanses us from all our righteousness. And we stand before Him. We stand in clothed garments, white as snow. Even though we're far from perfect, the Lord sees us as we were. God, through Him, we're justified. This means God's eyes, we're perfect. God sees us as being righteous as His Son. And God looks at us, and here's what He says. You are dressed in a manner which makes you worthy to enter into heaven. It's not going to be how many sermons I preached or how good I preached or how many souls I led to Christ. Those are all important. But what's going to matter is, have I transformed my life? Have I believed and accepted what Christ has for me? This is glorious. When we're redeemed, we will arrive in heaven. We will find the gates open. We'll be ushered into the presence of God. You know why? Because we've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. How about you today? Do you want to look your best? I'm not talking about your clothes. I'm not talking about your hair. I'm not talking about any of that. I'm talking about, do you want to be clothed in a way that would be pleasing to God? And if you've never been saved, to be saved and be acceptable in His sight. Today, if you're here lost, just take off those old dirty, rotten, filthy clothes. And give God what you have for Him to do the best you can. Look the best for Him all the time. Because God wants to give you a new garment that is clean and holy and righteous and permissible to enter into His presence. Father, we thank You, Lord, for this day. We thank You for the opportunity and the privilege we have to come together this morning. Lord, today I pray that those that are here, we're understanding. We're not talking today. We've wonderful people and we live in life, but yet sin in our life makes us so unclean. Sin in our life separates us from God. Sin in our life will destroy our homes, our families, our churches. But today, You've given to us the hope of eternal life. And Father, today I pray that You'd bless this invitation. I don't know today. I realize that many of the folks here have been here many times. But Lord, I just want to be sure to give people an opportunity today to understand if they're not saved, they need to be saved. They need to trust Christ and know that if He comes today and they stand before Him, He'll say, come on in, your garments are white as snow. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen.